FDC SeaTac. It's a federal prison located 12 miles south of Seattle. It's a seven-story gray building with narrow slots for windows and four distinct but connected units. 912 male and female inmates from every security level are currently housed there. But this month saw the arrival of a new group.
So what we know right now is that we have 209 people being held at the Federal Detention Center in SeaTac, Washington. We understand that 177 of them are women and 32 of them are men. They're all seeking asylum. And so this is unusual because it's not usually where people are being held when they're doing an asylum process.
That's Jorge Barón, the executive director of the Northwest Immigration Rights Project. He's been talking to some of the 209 immigrants in ICE detention who are now being transferred to a federal prison in Washington state, part of a new agreement between ICE and the Justice Department.
Most of the people that we talked to so far are from one of three countries, from Guatemala, El Salvador, or Honduras. We've talked to 11 women so far. Seven of them are mothers who had their children taken away from them at the southern border. And who still have not been reunified with them. And now, of course, they're geographically much further apart because we understand that the children are being held in Texas. There's two women that I talked to personally. One of them is somebody who has got an 11-year-old. And, you know, she told the story about the fact that she basically turned herself in and her daughter when they came across the border. And then, you know, as they entered the station and they went down this hallway, at a certain point, without much warning, they were basically told, okay, you mother go this way and you daughter go the other way. And that was it. No warning, no chance to say goodbye. And they were separated. And the mother is distraught. She hasn't, you know, seen or heard from the daughter since that time. That was about 4 weeks ago. You know, she kept asking him, you know, how soon am I going to be reunified with my daughter? And I didn't have an answer, and I still don't have an answer to that question.
In total, 1,600 detainees are being transferred to federal prisons. Sarah Lynch is a criminal justice correspondent for Reuters, and she broke the story. Sarah, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Sarah, why are immigrant detainees being transferred to federal prisons?
Well, you know, I spoke with a spokeswoman for Immigration and Customs Enforcement, and she had told me that they just needed more space. They're launching what they call a zero-tolerance policy for people coming over the border illegally. So the Justice Department has also vowed that they will prosecute each person, and they don't want to let them be released while they await a civil immigration proceeding, as had been done in the past in some cases with nonviolent detainees. So They basically ran out of space, and they came to an agreement with both the Federal Bureau of Prisons and the U.S. Marshals Service. But what I could tell from the way I learned the story, I basically learned it through unions representatives who have workers in the prisons. It was sort of ad hoc, done last minute, and none of them really had much more than a few days' notice that these detainees were coming.
I mean, is this setting a precedent for housing these folks who are seeking asylum in prisons, in federal prisons?
Well, it has been done before, but for the most part, you know, I spoke with a lot of different people who are members of the union for the prison workers, and basically none of them could recall anything of this scale, of this magnitude, of this many people at once. And again, I think one of the biggest issues here is the fact that it was done seemingly last minute, with little planning, little telling the people in advance that this was happening, any of the infrastructure that you sort of need in a detainment facility. So there's reports that people can't get access to lawyers easily. They're not sure about how they're going to set up visitation, and it's very challenging for the people who are being detained there to be able to access legal assistance.
And I'm wondering how much you can tell us about the logistics of once these people who are seeking asylum are put into these federal prisons. Are they separate from the general population of incarcerated individuals? Are these folks sort of having to fend for themselves in that situation?
Well, they're going to be housed separately. They're supposed to be housed separately. I think each facility may be a little bit different in the setup. You know, in SeaTac, which you mentioned at the beginning, that is a high rise, so they're on different floors. But what I was told about the Victorville prison, which is out in California, about 85 miles away from Los Angeles, while they're separate there as far as where they're housed, there is a certain level of integration, I was told, because, for instance, when they go to eat in the mess hall.
And these are supposed to be temporary arrangements, right? 120 days. Is that the case?
Yeah, it's supposed to be 120 days, although one union member told me he's concerned because they're not increasing the number of people in the prisons to help deal with this influx. So we'll have to see what happens after 120 days. ICE is trying to secure additional facilities and space.
Now, we're hearing a lot about parents being separated from their children, forcibly separated from their children. What does that apply to this group that is being transferred to federal prisons? And if so, where are their children going?
We have limited visibility into that. Of all the facilities, there's five prisons that are being used in this agreement. Only one of them has women. That's the SeaTac facility. All the others have men. And I haven't so far in my reporting, although I'm hoping to find more examples of nonprofit legal advocacy groups that are trying to do outreach and try to figure out who's there, which is a challenge if you don't have the names of the person. I think they're speaking with the consulates to try to figure out who is there.
Well, that's another question I was going to ask you. How are people keeping track of who's there?
You know, they're being assigned what they're called register numbers. But if you don't know the register number, as is what Jorge Barron was telling me when I interviewed him, it's very hard to figure out who's there. He had spoken with me again yesterday to update me about what he's been seeing, and they've been working with consulates to try to figure out who's there. At last, he'd seen, and he'd said at this point, since he spoke with you, I think they've seen now more than 20 women. And they're estimating at least half of those are parents. A lot of them came in Texas. Quite a number of them had their children separated. We don't know at this point, and I haven't heard any reports yet, to see what's happening in these other facilities. You've got people in Sheridan, Oregon. You have people in Phoenix, Arizona, up to 1,000 people in Victorville, and then in Texas. And those are all male detainees.
Now, we reached out to ICE for comment, and they said that the reason they're doing this is because of the, quote, current surge in illegal border crossings and implementation of U.S. Department of Justice's zero tolerance policy. Now, I'm curious to ask you, where is this surge coming from? Because the data shows that if we're talking about Mexico, there's actually been a decrease in the number of people crossing the border.
You know, that's a good question. I think it may just be the fact that this administration is cracking down. You know, under Obama, in the beginning of that administration, they were cracking down as well, but that subsided amid, in part, a lot of criticism. So I don't know exactly where that's coming from. I could tell you, though, that ICE had told me that the average daily population of what they're housing in terms of number of people is over 41,000 as of May 26th, which is higher than what it was for the average last year. So they're housing a lot more people. And according to them, they're actually housing more people than the amount that Congress authorized them to pay for. So they need, according to them, you know, more resources and more beds.
Sarah Lynch is a criminal justice correspondent for Reuters who broke the story earlier this week. Sarah, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.